His name is called the El Shaddai. And El Shaddai is the most interested one. He sustains all things, but he sustained by none. Can you talk to him tonight? What you need is a word from the Lord. It's a word from the Lord. If you begin to minister and the anointing of God rests upon the building, you will be activated. But that will be an enablement that is secured on the ground of the anointing. What God wants you to do is to have a personal walk with him. It's superior to the move of the anointing, where you know him personally and you can come into his presence to secure a word for your destiny. You need a word of the Lord for you to advance in life. Every one of us. There is a point where the minister of God is not present. It is you and the Holy Spirit. That is why he came. He came to secure fellowship. A fellowship that will bring you back into the dominion that was lost in the Garden of Eden. So that you can conquer your world and become a reflector through which the dimensions of heaven can be seen. Can you talk to the Lord personally tonight? There is a wave of the Spirit that will hit the building, but it's beyond the anointing. When the meeting is over, it becomes you and the Holy Spirit. It counts on you to know how to secure a voice in the Spirit, a voice that navigates and causes you to walk in the path of destiny. Talk to the Lord tonight. Talk to the Lord tonight. I always encourage people to talk to the Lord before the service begins. Because as we advance in the service, the anointing clothes us like a canopy. And everybody is hijacked, everybody is lifted. But when the anointing leaks, it becomes a personal walk with the Holy Spirit. And that is why you see a lot of Christians failing, because they don't know how to secure the voice of Him who is eternal. They don't know how to walk with the Spirit of God, the Spirit that is supposed to be the advantage that they have in time, the advantage that they have on the earth. They don't know how to relate with that Spirit. You don't need somebody to always carry you up in the Spirit. Know how to secure a word in the Spirit. Know how to touch the texture of the Spirit for yourself. That is the walk of life. That is what life is all about. It's a walk with the Holy Spirit. It is not the move of the anointing. It's not the move of the Holy Ghost through a man advancing and touching your realms until you become activated. It is you knowing how to touch God and walking with the Lord personally. So that you know the career to choose. You know whom you should marry. You know where you should walk. It becomes a supernatural lifestyle. A lifestyle that is fused in the crucible of the Spirit. Then the Spirit of God becomes the very utterance that navigates you in life. Talk to the Lord tonight. Make it a practice. That is the Christian walk. That is the faith. Talk to Him tonight. Have this confident assurance that He hears you. If that if we know that He heareth us, then we are rest assured that He answers the petitions that we have asked Him. It is a personal walk with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. We honor and we worship your holy name. In Jesus' precious name. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. And so, precious Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have to assemble before you tonight as a corporate person. We ask that your word will come down to every one of us and to encounter us at the point of our needs. We also ask, O God, that as we live, may we not live without your presence, but carry your presence to our very spheres in order to be effective representatives of your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. I have a very short time to bring the word of the Lord to you this evening. I'm trusting God that He will minister to somebody. I don't know if you are the person, but I'm trusting God that He will minister to somebody. If you are the one, you can make it louder. Glory to God. I came with my friend, Brother Michael. Can you please give the Lord a big hand for him? By the way, we came in from Makodi today. 8 hours. And it's so wonderful to behold your very beautiful presence. You look good. You look awesome. Camp is an experience, right? Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 is our anchor scripture for tonight. proper will begin from there. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that hath promised. Praise God. Since it's a power service, I'm not going to be doing so much of doctrinal balance and bring emphasis from balancing scriptures. I'll just give a charge, and then we'll allow the Spirit of God to minister to people. Hallelujah. Because it's a power service, right? Praise God. I'll just begin quickly by explaining what the faith is. Thereafter, I'll also explain how we should hold fast to the faith. By the time I'm getting to that point, I know the power of God would have been resident on the building. Praise God. So, my job description is very simple. So the question is, what is the faith? Hallelujah. What is the faith that you are holding fast to? Before we ask what it means to hold fast. Because spiritual things are not natural things. There are realities that exist in a different dimension. But because of the intricate nature of the human makeup, he has the capacity, even though he's resident in the natural dimension, to make contact with spiritual things. On this note, it is very important for man to have accurate understanding of what spiritual realities are. And having had an accurate understanding, he needs to also know how to interface and interact with those spiritual realities until they become experiential realities in his life. Because when a spiritual reality is not experiential, then it does not have the capacity to impact on existential realities. And every day of your life, you will discover that you are interfacing with real life circumstances that threaten to annihilate your very existence. For example, there are lots of persons that have health crises, but there is a reality in the spirit called divine health. And there is also a provision in the spirit called divine healing. But the question is, you are challenged with health crises, and you know that divine health and divine healing are realities in the spirit. How do you lay hold on it to domesticate it in your life? Because if divine healing is not an experiential reality, it cannot impact on the crisis that you are going through. So even though you know that it is real and it is existing in the spirit, it does not profit you. And the Bible said, it is the manifestation of the spirit that profits. It said, for the manifestation of the spirit is given to all to profit without. So if spiritual realities are not domesticated, we can make a religion out of it, thinking we are impressing God. And then we will die like natural men. And it does not change who God is. Because by definition, God simply means self-existent one. It also implies that he is the only being that exists for himself. And for his own essence, every other thing exists. So you exist because of him. He doesn't exist because of you. So even if it doesn't work for you and you fail, it does not impact on his person. God is not reduced because the earth realm is failing. God is not even reduced because people try to mock him. He cannot even be mocked, by the way. And God does not reduce in stature, in essence, and in capacity because people say he's not there. That is because he is bigger than who we all are put together, and he does not exist because of us, we exist because of him. So what spiritual totality requires of us is to find out his ways and know the provisions that he has put in place for our good. Because the advantage we have in the spirit is that he is our God. And he loves us beyond everything. And before we ever had need for anything, he provided everything. The only problem is, how does he expect us to access the things that he has provided? And that is why we have the ministry of the fivefold. I have come tonight to show you what the faith is, and then how to lay hold on the faith in order to make the most out of your lives. You will be surprised if the spiritual is open and you begin to see the destinies of the people sitting here. You'll be amazed. But that we have great destiny is not enough. Because there are lots of persons that died without scratching their destinies. My brother went to a tomb some time ago, and then he saw names on the tomb. And then he just turned on him that, wow, All of these persons lived in the world, and the Holy Ghost said they didn't believe. He was confused. He sought to know why the Spirit of God would say that. And God said they did not believe the reason for their lives. So as far as spiritual equation is concerned, they did not live on earth. Because life is not just the breath that is on your nostril. Life is a reality. It is something that is formulated within the wisdom of the Godhead. And it was fashioned, formulated, and designed before time began. You were only given this mortal vessel to give expression to that thing that was written before time began. So if you do not find it and live accordingly, you may have passed through this time as a pilgrim, but you never lived. Because according to spiritual equation, where things matter, your name will not be numbered. It is a very important thing. By the time you realize it, then it will dawn on you that you are not your own. And you don't live for yourself. You live for a superior purpose. That purpose was weaved into creation before you were born. What wisdom expects you to do is to find out what it is and live accordingly. Hallelujah. So what is the faith? The faith is different from faith. I'll have you know that before I begin. Faith, the Bible says, according to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means that thing you are not seeing, what you lay hold on that makes that thing real to you, that's what faith is. And as a Christian, what we hold on to that gives us assurance in life is Christ. So Jesus is the faith, is our faith. So on a personal note, your faith is what Jesus is to you and how through Jesus you conquer your world. But when we speak of the faith, we are talking about the corporate thing that the body believes in. What makes us who we are as Christians? Now, these are two different things. For example, you can have faith in a divine being, right? But corporately, what does the Christian faith stand on? That is what we want to look at tonight. And because I don't have time to do all the doctrinal emphasis, I'll just zero down on the basic of the faith. And the basic of the faith is captured in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Hallelujah. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Two things were stressed in that scripture. The first is the lordship of Jesus. The second is the resurrection from the dead. These are the two basics of the Christian faith. The first is what? The lordship of Jesus. It speaks of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. The resurrection is the transport system that brings you into the reality of God. Let me explain this way. Man was a fallen creation the moment he subscribed to the devil. And so what God designed man for was no longer possible because man had fallen. Man had fallen in the sense that man was separated from God. So man could no longer achieve what God wanted man to achieve, because the only way man was going to achieve what God wanted him to achieve was to use the resources of God. But now that he's separated from God, he can no longer access those resources. So the man was fallen. And there's no way that man could please God anymore. Are we together? There was a mutation to the genetic makeup of man in the spirit. When God created man, if you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible said, let us make man in our own image, first. In our own likeness, second. Let them have dominion, third. Those are the three essential faculties of man. The image of God, the likeness of God, and the capacity for dominion. Man lost those three things. Are we together? So when man fell, the reflection of man, what came out of man, was no longer consistent to God. The workings of man, the characters of man, the expressions of man were no longer consistent with God. And the ability to dominate was no longer there. The devil substituted it for three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So as man lusted to satisfy his natural appetite, what happens is that he deviated from the nature of God. Because the original man was supposed to lust after the desires of God. The desires of God were supposed to be his desires. But now that he was falling, he now lusted after his own appetite. So the more he satisfied his appetite, the more he got deviated from God. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh was what substituted the image of God. The second thing was the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is what denatured the character of man. According to the spirit, what you see, you become. The Bible said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord are changed into that image. So in spiritual equation, what you see, you become. So the more man saw after the appetite of the flesh, man became more in the likeness of carnality, which was mirrored after the devil that was now his God. So the devil substituted the likeness of God for the lust of the eye. And then the pride of life was the substitute for the capacity for dominion. Now Adam did not need to run around with the animals. If Adam needed to talk to the lion, he only called the lion. Because he had dominion over the birds of the air, the fish, the water, everything that creeped upon the face of the earth, he had dominion. He didn't need to struggle, because by statutory function, he was the most ranking personality on earth. So everything was subject to his authority. But when that dominion fell, man now carried gimmicks in order to satisfy that appetite. So you see people, some young people sometimes, I like using this example because it's common with young people. A young man goes to carry his father's car just to create impression. Because when he creates that impression around and they call him a big boy and heavy, there is this satisfaction he gives him. There is this egocentric satisfaction. Now, that is what the devil substituted for what should have been natural dominion. Do you know how the Adam named the fish? Do you have an idea how many species of animals are in the water? They lined up before him. The same way Noah commanded the animals to come into the ark was the same way Adam commanded everything in the water, and they lined up before him. Anything he wanted, he just decreed and it happened. So he doesn't need to create impression because he had dominion. All of these three faculties of man were denatured. They were substituted by an appetite that was created from the pit of hell. It is called lust. So the man fell. The only way that this man could be restored was for the resurrection power to come alive. But that was not found. There was no way he could achieve it, because resurrection was no longer a reality that would find expression in him, because he was dead. And on that note, another man showed up on the face of the earth. This man was not created from the dust. This man was born of the word of God. And he came through a virgin. And his name is called Jesus Christ. When this man came, this man was supposed to provide the resources that were required to restore the denatured man, so that he would come back to his position as the image of God, the likeness of God, and the man that had dominion. And the devil knew. The same way the devil truncated the process in the Garden of Eden was the same way the devil accosted Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation. Because in the Garden of Eden, when the devil showed him the fruit, the Bible said, when he looked at the fruit, he saw that it was appealing to the eye. He saw that it was good for food. And he saw that it was going to make man wise. That is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And when the devil confronted Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh. But this man that showed up now, he carried the DNA of God. He could no longer fall to the cheap temptation of the devil. And he said, man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. The challenge was not whether Jesus was the Son of God. It was written and clear in the Spirit that he was the Son of God. But the devil knew That deception is the deception that destroys man. Turn these stones to bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. Because the test that man failed, man must have to pass that test again in order to enter into his destiny. Because when an angel falls, it is an angel that will redeem an angel. When a man falls, it is a man that will redeem a man. Because when God shut the gate, it is God that opened the gate. So another man showed up, and the devil saw the glory that he carried, and he needed to denature him again, so that there is no hope for humanity. He said, turn these stones to bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. The Bible said he carried him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he told him to jump from that place to the ground. He said, for it is written that the angel shall hold you up, lest thou cast thy feet against his toe. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. You don't tempt me. I am not just a man. I carry the DNA of God. What that I do not know, I know. I am of God. And he carried him to a very high mountain, showed him the glory of God. And he said, bow down to me, and I will give it to you. That's the pride of life. But Jesus said, away from me. Away from me. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and only him shalt thou serve. So the question was whether this man that has showed up now can still subscribe to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If Jesus had subscribed to that, what would have happened was that the growth process of Jesus would have changed in direction. The orientation of his growth pattern would have changed, because the Bible said Jesus grew in wisdom, in knowledge, in the fear, and in the stature of the Lord. He was growing in God, but if he had subscribed to that, his growth process would have changed. Jesus would have taken the shape of a fallen man, and there was no way Jesus would have become the savior of the world. But the question is that that's not what I'm trying to emphasize. What I'm trying to show you is that there is a way the immortal realm answers questions. The immortal realm is the spiritual realm. It does not answer questions on the frequency of the mind. It answers questions from the wisdom of God. So the answer the devil was looking for, God was going to provide it. But there was a way God was going to provide it. Because the question of the sonship of Jesus was not just to prove that he was the Son of God. The sonship of Jesus was the key for redeeming the world. Because the Bible said until now, it said the whole creation is in bondage, and it travails in bondage, and it is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God manifesting on the earth was the salvation of the earth. And there was a way the immortal realm wanted to produce this answer. So the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 verse 3, it said concerning Jesus, whom he made to be the son of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of God by power through the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. God was going to show that Jesus was the son of God, but that answer was going to come through the resurrection. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ was going to become the pillar through which the Christian faith will stand upon. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was going to become the reason why we are going to arise from the lust of the eyes into the likeness of God. The resurrection of Jesus was going to be the reason why you would arise from the lust of the flesh to become the image of God. The resurrection of Jesus was going to be the reason why you are going to arise from the pride of life into the seat of dominion. It was the resurrection. And that is why the resurrection is one of the pillars of the faith. When we speak of the faith, we talk about the resurrection. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 14, he said, Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain. Then your faith is vain, because the faith stands on the resurrection. He went down, verse 17. He said, if Christ is not risen, then you are still in your sins. He said, if Christ is not risen, then we are all men most miserable. But Christ is risen. So we hold on to that profession as our life. What is the profession of the faith? The profession of the faith is the solemn declaration that Jesus is risen from the dead. That is what quickens the life of God on your inside. And if that thing has not come to you by revelation, you are still going to be a puppet in the hands of the devil. Because the key out of sin and iniquity is not struggle. Your will is already subjugated. The key out of sin and iniquity is to die with Jesus and to rise to the newness of life. And that is why the resurrection is cardinal in the gospel. But a lot of Christians do not know what the resurrection is. So a lot of people preach morality. They preach discipline, fidelity, and chastity. I tell you the truth. A monk in China can tell you more about morality and discipline. There are some of them that meditate for 13 hours every day, and they do it for more than 10 years. There are some that don't behold women. They are locked up in prayers and meditation. But there is no life in practice. There's no life in principle. There's no life in law. The law comes to show you your weakness. The resurrection is the life. Jesus said when Lazarus died, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is the life. That is the faith. How do you lay hold on the resurrection? We are talking about holding fast to the faith. You lay hold on the resurrection by recording that you died with Jesus and that you are risen with him in the newness of life. That does not come through cognitive knowledge. You can know all the scriptures that speaks about it, but it doesn't mean you will enter into the experience. It only comes through revelation. The word revelation in the Greek is the word apocalypse. Until that light is shed on your soul, it can never become a reality in your life. One of the job descriptions I have tonight is to show you how to lay hold on the resurrection so that you can begin to walk in the newness of life. Because that is part of the calling that we have. The seed of eternal life is planted in our spirit when we receive Jesus. But for that reality to become domicile on our soul, then the revelation of the resurrection was down on us. Hallelujah. Are we together? For you to touch the texture of eternal life, the reality of the resurrection must down on your soul. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. In Romans chapter 6, verse 9 and 11, it says, knowing. The word knowing is not so necessary. See, there are three words for knowledge in the Greek. We have sonesis. Sonesis is mental exertion, ability to know because you have analyzed. But there is a higher knowledge. It's called epignosis. Epignosis is revealed knowledge. And then there is also a higher knowledge. It's called ginosko. Ginosko is experiential knowledge. Because it has been revealed, you have walked in its experience. A knowledge that you have interacted with. It said, therefore, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more power, dominion over you. Next verse. Likewise, reckon. It said, you now account it to yourself that yourself you were dead in Christ. But now alive unto God. You are alive through Christ Jesus. It is called living by eternal life. You don't live by mental exertion. You don't live by exerting your will anymore. You now live by eternal life. Because you have known by revelation that you died with Christ. So you died to sin. But now you are alive with God. That's how you live old. On the resurrection, which is one of the articles of our faith. The question is, how do I just become aware? Because I don't feel like it and then become aware. So how do I become aware? The first is by prayers. You consciously pray to God to reveal to you your death in Christ and your resurrection through him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17, Bible speaks. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesians. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the gnosko of him, in the knowledge of him. A lot of Christians are not walking in the reality of the resurrection because they are not giving to prayers. It is not enough to study the word of God. Jesus was the word, but Jesus prayed more than everybody. There were times Jesus came back from the crusade and went to the mountain and prayed all night. So this type of prayer, you do what? You pray it consciously. Come on. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Hear what the Bible says. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. When Paul was praying for the church in Colossians. He said, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, speaking of their love and their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is not mental exertion. This is not physics and chemistry. This is not mathematics. It's not geometry. It's not abstract geometry. It's not calculation in the mind. It is a knowledge that is given. It is imparted. So how do you lay hold on the resurrection? By asking in the place of prayers. A lot of Christians are not walking by the faith. That's why you see the epileptic nature of Christianity we have. One man discovers the mystery of the healing anointing, and there are 10,000 Christians lined up to be healed. It's good to do it by the anointing. That's why God gives it. But God prefers that we walk in divine help. Paul suffered a shipwreck and came to the ark. After escaping death, then a viper beat him on the hand and was stuck there. And the people say, this man must be a very demonic man. This is a devilish man. Even though he escaped death from the sea, see, his faith has caught up with him. And the Bible said, Paul just shook it into the fire. And the people watched to see him fall down and die. And when he did not fall, they said, this is a God. Can I tell you the summary of the Christian faith? The summary of the Christian faith is divinity walking through humanity. So every one of us that shows up is an appearance of a God. But a lot of people are far from the reality because the revelation has not turned on their soul. The second way to hold on to the faith is by meditation on the word. As you meditate on the word of the Lord, what happens is that you are transported into the reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, the Bible says, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. He said we are being changed by the Spirit into that image from glory to glory. How many Christians behold the word? How many Christians meditate and contemplate the word? The Christian life is not difficult, but it requires separation. It requires consecration. If you are not consecrated to it, you will never see it manifest through you. So nobody is supposed to be a superstar in the New Testament context. We are all superstars because we have God on our inside. That's the prayer Moses prayed. He said, I wish that all the children of God were prophets. Because the prophetic anointing functioned by the Spirit. So Moses was looking forward to a day where the Holy Ghost would be upon every man. Today is that day. Why are we not manifesting? Paul rose up and said, according as it is written. He said, they believe and have spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. What was Paul saying? It was so in their generation. In my own generation, I will manifest it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, they believe and have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You can have 20 of you on this orientation ground, and then there is somebody leaving this orientation ground without knowing Jesus. That is because eternal life is not burning on your inside. If it was burning in your bones, you won't be able to keep quiet in your hostel. If you knew the love of God, you wouldn't be able to shut your mouth. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord is locked up in my bones. He said, it is burning. It burns on your inside. when it downs on you. But you must know how to lay hold on it. He said, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. By meditation on the word. By meditation on the word. In meditation, what you do is that you plant the word in your soul and in your spirit. The word is logos. The written word is called logos. This cannot change your life. But when this is planted in your spirit, what happens is that it is shot out of you by the Holy Ghost, and then it is called rhema. That's the spoken word. If it comes out of your head, there will be no result. But if it comes from your spirit, it can move mountains. And the only way you plant it is by meditation on the word. You talk the word to yourself. You talk the word to yourself. He said, be not drunk with wine, therein in its excess, but be filled with the spirit. He said, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual song, making melody in your heart in the Lord. You talk it to yourself. Talk it to yourself. I'm the anointed of the Lord. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Eternal life is at work in me. I died with Jesus, so I live in the newness of life. You talk it until it becomes real to you. That is when you can speak it out. The problem we have is that people go for meetings and they hear men of God quote the word, and they come and quote it the way the men of God quote it. You won't have the result they have because they are speaking it from their spirit. You are speaking it from your head. How do you lay hold on the faith? Meditation on the word. You are transported to become that which you hear. That's why the wisdom faith lays responsibility on you. It's beyond going to church every day. What you have will be sustenance ration. They prophesy over you today, tomorrow you need more prophecy. But we walk by faith, not by sight, not by sensory perception. He said, the just shall live by faith. That means everybody who is justified, the word of God is supposed to be the substance of his reality. You are powered by the word. Hallelujah. The revelation of the resurrection. The third one is by obedience. This texture of my discourse now brings us to the Lordship of Jesus. You know, when I read the scripture, I told you there are two things I'm going to talk about, right? The first one is what? The resurrection. The second one is called the Lordship of Jesus. What the resurrection does is that it brings you into the reality of the newness of life. So you cannot draw from the resources of God for your own existence. What the Lordship of Jesus does is that it brings you into the kingdom. In the kingdom, you become an extension of God. What God wants to do, you become that errand of God on the face of the earth to advance the purposes of God. But the kingdom is not in view until you repent. You repent from selfish living. You don't live for yourself. You now come to an understanding that you live for God. Therefore, you become obedient to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Obedience to the Holy Ghost is not just written in textbooks. Because what happens in the resurrection is that the Holy Ghost comes to implant eternal life on your inside. Then that Holy Ghost becomes the Lord of your life. So he tells you what to do. If you cannot obey that Holy Spirit on your inside, you can never see the glory of God. The kingdom is the pavilion in the spirit where the glory of God rests. But the kingdom, you seek after it. And then as you seek after it, the deeper you go, you are introduced to laws. Laws. Because in the kingdom context, you follow the laws of God as released unto you by the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with governmental powers. So the more you seek to obey the Holy Spirit, the more laws he releases. At a babyhood stage, The Holy Ghost could just expect you to come into fellowship with him. But if you become strong with him, the time comes when he can tell you, don't eat for 3 days. You begin to die to flesh. That is when the mutation is corrected. The mutation that you suffered on account of the fall, that's when it is corrected. The Holy Ghost can tell you, don't drink water for today. The Holy Ghost can tell you, pray for 4 hours today. You had plans, you had things to attend to, but today there is a law over your life, and that law says, don't go out. Do you know what the Bible said concerning Jesus? When he was baptized, the Bible said, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was driven. He rushed into the wilderness. That's a man who has submitted his will to God. So God had liberty over his life. Paul was going to Rome to be killed. Even prophets came to stop him. Prophet Agabus came, carried his belt, tied himself, and said, the man who owns this, he said, this is what will be done to him in Jerusalem. Paul said, I go to Jerusalem bound with the Spirit. This man does not have liberty of expression anymore. He has submitted his life to God. So God had so much liberty in his life that he could bound him. He could bound him. That's the way God bound some of them, not to use their certificate. And today they become general overseers. Their certificate would have fetched them highest few hundreds of thousands. But God did not tell them millions was a few, because obedience is the key. But the Bible said, I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. But if that appetite of self is still active in you, you cannot come into the kingdom. In the kingdom, God lives through us. And the only way God lives through us is that our will is submitted to him, and he has liberty of expression. Because a time comes when that God can tell you to leave your father's house. That God can tell you, don't marry this man, even though he's a billionaire. Because he knows the future. What happens in the kingdom is that your life becomes an extension of God. That is where men begin to sustain immortal qualities. There are some men that their lives have sustained the disposition of immortals. They don't die. Because even when they die, the things that came out of them, it lives on. Some men are not ordinary men. They are men that live in the kingdom. Their lives become a witness that there was, and there is, and there will be a God. And if you want to know about that God, look into their lives. Our life is a story that God is telling from heaven. But the only way that story can land on earth is if we submit ourselves to Jesus. Nobody needs to be strong. He doesn't need your strength. There is strength in him. He said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves, it's of God, so that the excellency of the glory will be of him, not of us. So God doesn't need you to be strong, and he doesn't need you to be a man. You can be a weak woman. Catherine Kuhlman was a weak woman and a very ugly one. So much so that she didn't even have somebody to love her genuinely. So she brought her love to Jesus. Until tomorrow, she is a wonder. She is a wonder. There is a life that is locked on your inside. That life seeks to find expression. But will you submit that life on the altar of Jesus? He is called the monarch of Zion. You have to see him. When Moses saw him, the Bible said, he despised the riches of Egypt. He despised the celestial palatial services in Egypt, because he saw him that was invisible. A man who was a prince in the palace could go to live at the backsides of the desert because he saw him. People like Peter were asking God, he that followed you, what do we stand to gain? Jesus assured him and said, well, anybody that seeks after me, he said, he will gain in this life and in the life to come. But that didn't satisfy Peter, until Peter saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter saw him, it dawned on Peter that life was deeper than breath. It was after that sight that Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. Peter said, after my disease, he said, even after I am dead, he said, I charge you to meditate on these things constantly. That thing that he found became more important than his life. So his prayer was no longer, God, keep me. But when I am gone, he said, dwell on these things.
Meditate on this thing. Stay on this thing. He said, for we did not follow cunningly devised tables when we spoke to you about the power of God and the coming of Jesus. He said, we ourselves were eyewitnesses of his majesty. At that time, Jesus was no longer a man. He addressed him as majesty, because in him he saw the king that he could live for, the king that he could die for. But church history told us that when Peter was to be killed in Joppa, he was to be crucified, he didn't pray for his life. He said they should not crucify him facing up like his Lord. He said they should turn him upside down. The glory had arrested his soul. John was sentenced out of civilization to the Isle of Patmos to die. But that thing was raging. It was raging. It was in the Isle of Patmos that John beheld his glory. And John wrote the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John revealed to us that the 12 apostles of the Lamb, he said the war that is to come, he said that war is going to sit on top of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He said the pillars of that war, he said the names of the 12 apostles were written on it. They thought they were just preaching the gospel. They didn't know that the civilization in the world to come was going to rest on their shoulders. What we call glory in the kingdom is service. And service comes through pure obedience to the Holy Ghost. He said, wherefore, having received a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us receive grace to serve God acceptably. In fear, in godly fear and in reverence, for our God is a consuming fire. Tonight, I have come to show you two pillars of the faith. The first is called the resurrection. The second is called the lordship of Jesus. I know most of you here may not have had the revelation of the resurrection. And that was why I took time to show you how to access it. But I know without doubt that every one of you here at one point or the other have experienced the lordship of Jesus. Because that time you insulted and gossiped that person, the Holy Ghost was grieved. And you knew. I've come to call you today to become more sensitive to that Holy Spirit. Because he can be grieved. He can be pained. The Bible says he feels your pains. He is touched by your own very affections. And he wants to become one with him. So that you and him can become partners that will advance the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom with you. It is bigger than you. With you, there's no beauty. You only think you are beautiful. But when you align with the kingdom, we have a corporate assembly. It is called a building, the house of God. The name of that house is called the church. Its name is the Ecclesia. It is in the church that Jesus becomes the head. That is where beauty is seen. The blocks in this building, if they were scattered here, nobody would be seated here. Because alone you have little value. But when we align through obedience to the Holy Ghost, we form a structure through which God can be revealed tonight. If you want to become that citadel that will align with the Holy Spirit, to allow his government to rage through your life and God be manifested, I'd like to invite you to rise. Because that power has come. I'd like you to rise and talk to God. Let him clothe you with the garment of fire. You can speak in other tongues now. Let him clothe you with the garment of fire. Before now, you have lived for yourself. Before now, the only things that matter to you are the things that are tied to your desires. But I've come to show you that there's a God that has desires of you. There's a God that wants your tongue to speak his words. There's a God that wants your hand to become an extension of his kingdom. There's a God that wants you to be a light that will shine in darkness. Do you consider the possibilities that are in that God? Tonight, I have come with a wake-up call. I've come with a wake-up call. Speak in other tongues. Mata kapura sabida mantala baboria sabat. Rakabata kibara babundus. Resete graparondo sigla paratalis,
Rimanantombre nelle sacco coria calabina mandra. Rakapata ki varaso tu balaba boria taha. Rakapate ke bondo si brahata. Liga bondro sabratio paraganaba. Talk to Jesus. We are constrained with time. We are constrained with time. There's so much I cannot say, but if the Holy Ghost can touch you, He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. If the Holy Ghost can touch, He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. You reign.
to serve God acceptably. In fear, in godly fear and in reverence, for our God is a consuming fire. Tonight, I have come to show you two pillars of the faith. The first is called the resurrection. The second is called the lordship of Jesus. I know most of you here may not have had the revelation of the resurrection. And that was why I took time to show you how to access it. But I know without doubt that every one of you here at one point or the other have experienced the lordship of Jesus. Because that time you insulted and gossiped that person, the Holy Ghost was grieved. And you knew. I've come to call you today to become more sensitive to that Holy Spirit. Because he can be grieved. He can be pained. The Bible says he feels your pains. He is touched by your own very affections. And he wants to become one with him. So that you and him can become partners that will advance the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom with you. It is bigger than you. With you, there's no beauty. You only think you are beautiful. But when you align with the kingdom, we have a corporate assembly. It is called a building, the house of God. The name of that house is called the church. Its name is the Ecclesia. It is in the church that Jesus becomes the head. That is where beauty is seen. The blocks in this building, if they were scattered here, nobody would be seated here. Because alone you have little value. But when we align through obedience to the Holy Ghost, we form a structure through which God can be revealed tonight. If you want to become that citadel that will align with the Holy Spirit, to allow His government to rage through your life and God be manifested, I'd like to invite you to rise. Because that hour has come. I'd like you to rise and talk to God. Let Him clothe you with the garment of fire. You can speak in other tongues now. Let Him clothe you with the garment of fire. Before now, you have lived for yourself. Before now, the only things that matter to you are the things that are tied to your desires. But I've come to show you that there's a God that has desires of you. There's a God that wants your tongue to speak His words. There's a God that wants your hand to become an extension of His kingdom. There's a God that wants you to be a light that will shine in darkness. Do you consider the possibilities that are in that God? Tonight, I've come with a wake-up call. I've come with a wake-up call. Speak in other tongues. Mata kabura sabida manta la baboria sabat. Rakabata kibara babundus. Resete traparondo sigla paratalis. Rimanantombre nele sato boria calababina mandras. Rakabata kibara sotovala baboria taha. Rakabate kibundo sibrahata. Liga bondro sabratio baraganaba. Talk to Jesus. We are constrained with time. We are constrained with time. There's so much I cannot say, but if the Holy Ghost can touch you, He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. If the Holy Ghost can touch, He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. He will impart it. You reign.
It is not the workings of the hand of man. It is an outpouring of the Spirit. An outpouring that activates people. That converts charlatans to become veterans in the kingdom. An outpouring that makes generous out of weak men. An outpouring that causes the divine life that is locked in the spirit of man to begin to superimpose over their soul. Holy Ghost, touch them now. Touch them now, Holy Ghost. As many as are aligned, as many hearts as are open, Holy Ghost, breathe on your people. Breathe on your people. Breathe on your people. Breathe on your people. Just be silent. The word of God will come in now. Be sensitive. Just be silent. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Forward, you lay hands on them. Holy Ghost, move, touch your people, touch your people. Activations of life, activations of life, activations of life. The Holy Ghost is healing a young lady here of bitterness. Bitterness. You see this young lady, grossly offended by a man who happens to be her uncle. The Holy Ghost is improving on the soul of that young lady now. Touch. 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 Bring her forward. Touch. 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 Usher, bring that lady for me. We are beginning to ascend in the spirit. We stand meeting. A lot of people lose out when the main thing begins to happen. Jesus was visiting Jerusalem and he lamented over Jerusalem. He said, because they do not know the times of their visitation. Ah, Holy Ghost, prove over them. Prove over them. Prove over them. Hey. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Prove over them.
Precious spirit of God. Precious Spirit of God. As the power of God touch you now, you reach your mother. Precious Holy Ghost. Precious Holy Ghost. I rebuke that spirit. I put an end to the tyranny of darkness. I rebuke that spirit. Touch. You don't need to pray now. Your faith couldn't carry it. Now the anointing has come. Out of her! Out of her! I rebuke that spirit of infirmity. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let it be uprooted. 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 Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. There's a young man here that God wants to minister to. Please pay attention. God is doing a lot of things already, but the ones he's bringing up, let's make sure we don't lose them. Things are already flying in the spirit. If you are a sensitive person, you can lay hold on things already. Things are flying in the spirit. As a young man here, I need a place for the prophetic anointing on your life. But you see, your dad, who happens to be your inspiration in your walk with God, was struck and he damaged your feet. Who is the young man? I want to join faith with people now. There are lots of things flying in the spirit. We need to be fast so that we don't lose grip on the things that God is saying. Because if we lose them, it will be to our disadvantage. Can you be speaking to the Lord? Can you be speaking to the Lord? Can you be speaking to the Lord? spirit. Keep praying in the spirit. Keep praying in the spirit. There's a prophetic fire on your life. Dreams and visions. Tell me about it. As you leave service, you are going to look for a better future. Where is that person? Let me join faith with you so that you can go and answer accordingly. You see, these things, there are things God wants to do that He witnesses. We need to be calm or pick it. Because you want to go and look for a better future. But there's a work committed to your hand in a rural environment. This person I'm talking about, pay attention, pay attention. This person I'm talking about, you are not a novice in the things of God. You have seen the gift of the Spirit at work in your life, especially the power gift. And you are strong in deliverance. If it's not any of the two of you, you can go back. The Lord committed a work for you in a rural environment. Your plan is that as you leave service, you are going to the city to look for a better life. And I'm telling you that you are not a novice in the things of God. You have already seen the power of God at work in your life. Most tangibly, the deliverance place. Who is the person? Step forward, let me join faith with you. I'm not going to tell you go back, but as I pray for you, right? The witness of God becomes stronger in your heart. And if you, the decision you take, you will know whether you choose God or you didn't choose God. Because when it comes to callings, there are better witnesses. You better witness them in the spirit and follow the witness. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lord, impart the faith that is required. Join faith with your brother. And join faith with your brother, with my brother. Lord, if it is your will for that one to advance, rest upon him like fire. Rest upon him like fire. Upon him that fight. You see, his emotions are down. So we want to do the will of God. Let him rest upon him that fight. If it's your will. So that we know that he's rising from his spirit, not from his soul. Not an emotional thing.
John, my favorite. Rest upon him, my pride. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
song designer. You had an intention to learn it. So when did you have that one? Don't go and depend on anybody. As I lay down for you.
Revelations. It's not connection. If you go and fight for connection, you waste your life. God is still working on her. Don't send her. Don't stop the process. Don't stop the process. Her soul is being reconfigured on the weight that is coming on her.
Let's ask for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were beaten and threatened,
The Bible said they went to their own company, they lifted up their voices in one accord, and as they prayed, he said the Spirit of God descended upon them, and the place where they were was shaken. There's a fresh baptism that comes upon you that causes you to go and declare the word with boldness. The Bible said with boldness, they bore witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Holy Spirit, baptize them afresh. 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 Touch. 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 Fresh baptism. Touch. 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 Touch Holy Ghost. Touch Holy Ghost. Touch Holy Ghost. Fresh baptism. Fresh baptism. Fresh baptism. Fresh baptism. Touch Holy Ghost. That's right. That's right. You can speak in other tongues. 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 There's a fire resting upon you. There's a fire resting. There's a fire resting. There's a fire resting. There's a fire resting. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. Can the Esco send me their hands on them? Escos, let's see if Escos, please lay hands on them quickly. We don't have time. Very quickly. There's a fire. 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 As you lay hands on them, the power of God will come on them. The power of God will come on them. I need all the Escos here. There's no time. If you're an Escos, please come quickly. Place your hands on them. The power of God. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Let's go quickly, quickly, quickly. Let's do this. Praise the Holy Spirit. There's a dimension of God that is going to begin to find expression in their souls. It will set them a place for Jesus. It will set them a place for Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those of you in the congregation, stretch forth your hands and pray for these ones. The devil has subjugated their faith. The devil has made them lukewarm. Let God faith with them so that they can burn with fire. So that they can burn with fire. So that they can burn with fire. Rakabasake Borabasanda. Ibrakabondo sobre Kida Parabonda. Rakiba Rakiba Rababondo. Reste Temperaskamina. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Let your heart desire be granted. Help her, help the lady. Let no one be injured.
place your hands there. If you are sick in your body, place your hands there. I'm rounding up. If you are sick in your body, place your hands there. You see, I've never started praying. But pains are already leaving you. Pains are already leaving you. You're having pain on your head and your neck. Check. Precious Holy Spirit, I take authority over spirit of infirmity, over foul spirit. I rebuke in the name of Jesus every spirit of infirmity holding back your health. Be let loose in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I declare your children free, your soul free, your body free, your livers, your kidneys, your heart free in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus every chain of infirmity. Break forth in the name of Jesus. Thank you Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Check yourself very quickly. Hey, help that lady there. I don't want people injured. Check yourself. If it's something you can verify, check. Is there anybody who has anything you can verify? Something was happening to you before, you can actually verify if it's gone. Anybody? Check. Let me take one or two testimonies. Where are the escorts? Come. We are rounding up. Is there anybody who can verify what was wrong with you before was not an internal organ or a blood issue? It's pain or something you can verify that you have been healed. What was wrong with you? Hallelujah! Give the Lord a shout. It's the same power that heals headache, that heals cancer. You don't need more of it. It's just for him to gain access to you. Is there any other person that has a testimony? Something was wrong to you, can verify now, it's gone completely. Come quickly. What was wrong with you?
I'm having heart pain, but now it's gone.
Pain. Heart pain just vanished. That's the power of God. What we do, we are not just playing around. We are actually doing business with spirit. Any other person can verify anything quickly before I hand over the mic. Is there any other person? Secretary, can you please? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.